today is the seventh part of a message that we began months back, and the title of the message was entitled Teaspoon to Wheelbarrow. This will be, I think, the seventh message. The title of this one today, we're asking the questions, and the title of this one today is Do I Honor My Parents? But to get to that one, I'm going to overview the entire teaching real quickly. Now, all of these, what we're trying to do now is for people that are coming into the church, new folks, we're trying to get packages of teachings so that we'll have something that they can get, and they can quickly get an understanding of what we do here, of what we believe here, of our doctrine biblically, and they can go home and do as the Bereans did to see if these things be so. And so all of these messages, this will be the seventh, will be in this, called Teaspoon to Wheelbarrow. Now, what we're talking about is invoking the blessings of God upon our lives. Now, what I've tried to show us and tried to get us to see is that God desires to bless us. He really does. But what we do is we respond to God and then God responds to us. Now, that's just a principle in the Word of God. He says, first you must sow and then what will happen? You shall reap. And that's just the way God works. Give and it shall be given. You see, there's a response that God does back to us. And what I want us to see is that blessings don't just happen. I want us to understand, yes, God wants to bless us, but there are certain things that God teaches us that we need to do to get those blessings. And that's what this teaching has been about. How can we live a blessed life? How can we live a blessed life? And so I'm going to give you the real quick overview of what all we've said so that we can finish it up today. And that this message, it might not be all we do on this, but it'll be the last that we do in this particular series. The first one that we talked about was the cycle of blessing. And I told you and I showed you that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. But also we are heirs, what? To the promises of Abraham. Now that's so necessary that we understand that Abraham was a blessed man. Abraham never laid hands on people and raised the dead. He didn't cast out devils. He didn't do spiritual things. But what Abraham did was be a very blessed and prosperous man. He left an inheritance to his children, and he was just a very prosperous man. So we're blessed with the blessings of Abraham as well as with the blessings of Christ Jesus. But what God told Abraham in the covenant was that there was a cycle of blessings. He says, I'm going to bless you so that you will be what? A blessing. And that's what we've got to understand is that, first of all, it's in the covenant. Number one, it's in the covenant. God's blessings are there for us to enjoy and invoke because they're in the covenant. Once we understand they're in the covenant, then what we've got to do is understand God's going to give us a little. He's going to give us a teaspoon. If we use it properly, do more of God's will with it, work His ways, do His things, then what He's going to do is then give us a cup. We'll have a cup. If we use that correctly and do what God tells us to do with our gifts and our talents and our cup, then we'll work into a big pot. If we have that big pot and we do what God said to do with that big pot, how many remember the illustration that we had? Dump those bales of hay on Willis, remember that? Well, if we do that right, then eventually we're going to work into a wheelbarrow so that we can just be a blessing to everything that we touch and everybody that we're around. So the thing that we need to understand first and foremost is that the blessings of God are covenantal. They are in the covenant. God wants to bless you. He has said He'll bless you, but they are contingent on what we do. Now, that's what we need to understand first and foremost. And then the second thing, the second message was concerning change. Once you have understood that the blessings are in the covenant and that there's areas of our lives that aren't being blessed, do we need to stop and say, well, is God missing it or am I missing it? Or do we just know who's missing it? Who's missing it if something in your life isn't blessed? Is God missing it? Nah, we're missing it. See? Okay, so my finances are a mess. Let's say that. They are not. I'm speaking words, but Lord, these words do not mean that my finances are a mess. Let's just say that that was what was going on. Well, now then, since we know my finances are a mess, do I continue for 40 years to go around the same mountain? Or do I try to find out what God says about my finances to get my finances straightened out? See what I'm saying? Will I change then once I find out what God said? My marriage is not a mess, but say it was. Would I continue to go around my whole life fighting with my marriage? Or would I seek God's wisdom and God's ways, find out what was wrong in my marriage and fix it? Would I change? If my children were rebellious, could I fix it? If things at work were bad, can I find out what God says about it and fix it? And then to find out this, what we've got to do is, I'm going to ask some questions. Felt that that's the way we needed to approach it, was ask seven questions to see. Seven questions to see, in these seven areas, are we being blessed? Number one, the first question that we asked was, is Jesus Christ really the Lord of my life? Is Jesus Christ really the Lord of my life? How do I know if Jesus Christ is really the Lord of my life? How do I know if He's really my master? Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, He says that a man cannot have two masters. Because eventually what's going to happen, he's going to love one and do what? Hate one. Eventually that's what's going to happen. He says you can't serve God and mammon. You're going to love one of them eventually and hate the other one. Just before that, He says this. He says that where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. Well, how do I know if Jesus Christ is truly my master? Is that where my heart is? Is my heart in the things of God? Is my heart seeking after the things of God? If they are, then He's my master. We need to ask that question. Is He truly my master? And then we went to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. And we saw there a very interesting thought. And whether you're talking about finances and you need blessings in your finances, or if you're talking about your marriage, or if you're talking about your children, or if you're talking about your workplace, whatever that it is that you're needing blessed, you need to understand what Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says. It says this, "Test me now in this, says the Lord, if you will bring in the whole tithe into the storehouse, that I will open," what? "The windows of heaven and pour you out blessings until there is no more need." You got to hear what I'm saying. If you're not tithing, don't expect to have the windows of heaven open to bless your life. That is so primary. I don't care what you need blessed. We're not just talking finances here. This is a principle that works in any area. If you want God to open up heavenly realms so that whatever that you need blessed can be blessed, you must be a tither, at least a tither. At least a tither. And what I want you to do now is turn in your Bibles, and I want to look at another underline of this, what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You've got to know, first and foremost, to be blessed of God, you have got to be a tither. Your life will not be blessed. Your marriage will not be blessed, not like it can be. Your children won't be blessed like they could be. Your workplace won't be blessed like it could be if you're not a tither. God puts a statement in His Word, the only place that He ever says, "Test me." And He says, "Test me on this to see if I won't bless your life if you'll tithe." Now we get tied up when we're talking about money. We think we just keep talking about money. I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about heaven being opened up and us being blessed. Now, this is the way Paul says it. I want to start reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And he's talking here about giving, and you'll see that in just a second. "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart." Where do you need to have this coming from? Your heart. Because where a man's treasure is, there his heart is also. This needs to come from the heart. Let him give. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, verse 8 is what I'm wanting here. This is the way Paul says Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And God is able, when? When you give cheerfully out of your heart, then now God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have all abundance for every good deed. Paul says here, if you'll give right out of your heart, purposed out of your heart, then what God can now do, then God is able, he says, God is now able to do what? Put all grace upon your life. so you'll have all abundance and you'll have all sufficiency. Can you see what I'm doing here? Can you see what the Word of God is doing here? That's more important. See, it is so important to understand that the first thing is that Jesus Christ has to be Lord of our life. If He is Lord of our life, then He'll have our finances, and we will give that tenth to Him, which in turn now opens up heaven so that every area of our life can now be blessed. It just works. That's the way it works. If I had to tell you two things that had caused me to spiritually prosper and to have a blessed life, number one is faithfulness to the house of God, and number two, that I've always tithed. Those two things, I believe, have caused me to be a blessed man, to have blessed family, blessed children, blessed life, healthy. I believe it. Now, you might not believe like I believe, but that's what I believe. And I'll show you more as we move on. How many see here that Paul links up giving out of the good heart with all abundance? That's what you need to know. So you got to understand there. The second thing is that, the first thing you've got to understand is that God will open up heaven and pour you out a blessing. Second question that we ask is, do I have a plan or a vision for the future? Proverbs 29 verse 18 says this, where there is no vision or no revelation, the people are unrestrained, and the King James Bible says perish. And Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 says, record the vision that the one who reads it may run. Now we talked about this. I'm not going to linger long on these, but we talked about this. We've got to have a plan and a vision. We've got to have a plan and a purpose. If you don't have a plan and a purpose, and your life is going along, you're unrestrained. And you'll try this, and you'll try that, and you'll dabble in this, and you'll dabble in that, and you look around, and you ain't got nothing. Why? Because there's not a plan, there's not a vision. What do I need to do? I need to sit down with my wife. We need to talk about our marriage. Honey, I need to love you more next year than I love you this year. You want to reciprocate here? Okay. What's wrong with writing that down? Is there anything wrong with writing that down? We want our children. Say they were young and I wanted them to go to college. We need to write that down. We want our children to go to college. We want funds provided. We want a house. We want to make our vision and make it clear. All right, now that's the vision and that's the plan. And anything else is just unnecessary. Do you see what I'm saying? Don't mean I can't have them if I can, but the primary thing is the vision. And I don't jump out here when there's the vision. Without a vision, without a plan, people are unrestrained and they go off everywhere. Now, well, I'll talk some more about these little things as we move on. But what we have a tendency to do is think that everything just happens. We have a tendency just to think that a good marriage just happens. How many has learned by now that a good marriage, Jim, does a good marriage just happen? I mean, do you just wake up one day and you got a good marriage? You have to plan for these things. You have to have a vision for a good marriage. People think that good kids just happen. You already know that one, huh? Folks, good kids don't happen. That's why God created a rod. People think that a good church just happens. Just happens. You know, praise God. It just happened. Me and Lance got this little joke. Well, we had, every once in a while, there'd be a pile of trash back here where we go out the door. Folks, whoever takes that trash, all you got to do is take it outside and set it right outside the door there, and they'll pick it up. But, you know, we laugh at it. People set the trash in, and they think it just disappears. But somebody's got to move it out there, folks. What I'm trying to show you is that in our life and God's blessings, you got to have a plan. You got to have a vision. You got to have a purpose. It's not going to just happen. Your life will no more be blessed than if you neglect your blessings than it would be if you did the same thing to your marriage. Those things don't just happen. Now, if you'll think about it, and you'll sit down with your spouse, or you'll sit down with whoever it is that you need to do this with, and you'll make your plan, and you'll make your vision, they'll help you stay restrained. They'll say, honey, we really don't need that. Remember our plan. Remember our vision. You know why we have a hard time with this one? Because we have to communicate. We have to talk to our wife or talk to our husband. Is that hard? It's hard to do that, isn't it? Randy, did you and Delane ever sit down and get your plan straightened out? Did you ever do that? You finally did it. How long did it take you to get him to do it, Delane? He told me. You can go ahead and say it. He told me. He told me it was going. You guys were talking about it for a week, several weeks. It takes time. You got to communicate. You got to do something. You got to have a plan. You got to have a vision. The third question that we talked about to have the blessings of God in our life is, do I have wise work habits? And I could say balanced work habits. Do I have balanced or wise work habits? And we talked about this in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. Says, poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in the summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. And then he says this, blessings are on the head of the righteous. What I want you to see here is that the Bible attaches blessings with work. Now somebody say amen. Folks, it's all right if we work. You know what the first thing that God let Adam do? Tend his garden. Work. And God's got a garden. He put you in to tend. And you may say, well, I'm just a housewife. Are you doing a good job at it? Are you balanced here? God wants us to work. I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And then I won't turn to any more until we get to one we're going to talk about today real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Proverbs 19 verse 15 says, laziness cast into deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. I want to say that again. Laziness cast into deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. How many understand that the Bible says if you don't work, you're supposed to be hungry? Right. And people come here off the street, and they say, I'm hungry. I say, are you working? They say, no. I say, you're supposed to be hungry. That's the word of the Lord. It's okay if we work. And whatever the Lord says that we put our hand to it, do it how? With all of our might. You know, and I was sitting there, we was praising God a while ago. And I get amazed at some people that come into this place, into this house, and praise God, never break a sweat. Oh, wait, get some of you to sweat as we turn the heat on. Do it with all of your might. How did David praise God? With all of his might. And I think that's what we need to do with everything. When we work, we need to work with all of our might. Whatever we put our hand to, we need to do it with all of our might. Now, I want to balance this, and I want to finish up with my thought here. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I want to start with verse 10. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. This is an order. If anyone will not work, neither let him what? Eat. Now, what he's here telling folks, he's talking to the church, and the church just had some riffraff and some guys that would come around, and they were just getting the church. They were just sucking on the church, and Paul is here saying, don't let that happen. If they won't eat, if they won't work, don't feed them. Can I preach this? And then he goes on to say, and this is what I really wanted you to get, because I'm hitting something here. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like what? Busybodies. Now, such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. In other words, if some of these people would go to work, they'd stop being so critical of the pastor. And you can think about it all you want to, and if you will, you'll find out that the people that have been the most critical are the people that haven't been working. Am I right? You know I'm right. Paul here hooks up and attaches with busybodies idleness. When people are idle, they start thinking about the church and what's going wrong and how I would do it if I was the pastor. Well, if you were supposed to be the pastor, God would have put you the pastor. What he's saying here, what you need to do is go to work. What he said. And if you don't work, you don't what? You don't eat. Okay. Pastor Tebow, we probably won't have as much problems from now on with people coming wanting money. Understand me. We love to give money. We give a lot of money away. We give a lot of money away. And God's really showed us a lot of things and taught us a lot of things over these last 4 years about who to help and what God's trying to do in your life. You know, sometimes God's just trying to do something in your life. He's just trying to bring you into a maturity and into a place with Him. You won't get any other way. How many say you need to have balanced work habits? You do. Then there's the other extreme. There's the lazy guy. Then there's the other guy that works all the time. He's possessed by work. He can't go to church because why? He's got to work. You know what happens to him? He gets all stressed out. His marriage starts crumbling apart. His kids don't know him. Hey, I've been there. You don't know your kids. They don't know you. Your marriage is a mess, hanging on a thread. See, there's a balanced work habit, and you've got to have this to have God's blessing. In any area of your life, you have got to have... If you're a housewife, and you don't keep your house in order, and you don't do it like you're supposed to, can that cause problems with you and your husband? Sure. See, it's all God's blessing. It's not just, we're not just talking finances here. These are what I'm wanting you to see, is the way we get any of God's blessings is by doing certain things. We do something, and then He responds. We sow, and then we reap. The fourth that we ask is, can I change? We talked about there from Exodus. We talked about Exodus 33. And please know, too, that all these were messages, and we dealt in depth with all of these things. Exodus 33, Moses says, show me thy ways so that I can be pleasing in your sight. I want us to understand that we need to take inventory in the areas of our lives that are not being blessed. And we need to look into that and say, God, show me your way. James says, if you lack wisdom in anything, do what? Ask God, and He'll give it to you. We need to learn to come to God and say, God, show me what to do. Teach me your way in this particular thing. David said in Psalms 27:11, David said, teach me thy ways. So you've got to learn God's ways. You're not just going to wake up one day and everything be fixed. You're not just going to wake up one day and know how God functions. He has got to teach them to us. That's what the Bible tells us. You've got to learn God's way. How do we do it? I gave you four things. Number one, you have got to be familiar with the Word of God. Just like we started this thing off with today. A lot of people got offended when Pastor Tebow forgave that lady her sin. You know why they got offended? Because they did not know the Word of God. We have got to be more familiar with the Word of God. We've got to know what the Word of God says. We've got to know what the Word of God says. Second thing we've got to have a better understanding of is a revelation of the body of Christ. You will not grow, and you cannot come into your full potential in Jesus Christ outside of the church. Well, I got a bunch of amens on that one. If you want to check me out on that, I preached it. You can look at Ephesians chapter 4, and you can read that chapter. And it starts off, and he starts telling you he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And you go on down, and you'll find out it says that we are the joint of supply. Why? So that the body can grow. You can't grow and I can't grow without you, and you can't grow without me. We need each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The foot cannot say to the head, I don't need you. You can't be blessed to your full potential outside of being Word and the body of Christ. Third thing you've got to understand to have the blessings of God is prayer. You'll never have God's full blessing on your life without prayer. It's wonderful to read in His Word about how David was king of Israel. But how many of you are called to be king of Israel? It's wonderful to read how Noah built a boat, an ark, and got all those animals in it. But how many of you are called to build an ark? You can't live on Noah's promises and Noah's purpose. You can't live on David's promises or David's purpose. Guess what? You've got a purpose and you've got a destiny, and the only way you're going to find it out is commune with Father. You got to have the Word. You got to have the body. You got to have prayer. And the fourth thing, then you have to say, I'll change when I see something I'm doing wrong. And most people won't do that. They might get the 1, 2, 3, but when they hit that fourth one, like right now I'm offending some people. See? And you know that that's the Word of God, but you say, yeah, I'm not going to change. I don't want to offend anybody. That's not my purpose. I'm trying to show you the blessings of God and how to enjoy them in our lives. Do you believe that's what I'm really trying to do? Now read and see if these things be so. That's why we're doing some of these things that we're doing now. The fifth thing. What's the fifth question I need to ask? Can I disassociate with negative influences? How many remember that one? The transference of spirits. If you won't, you will get just like whatever you're hanging around. Proverbs says this, Proverbs 13, verse 20 and 21. He who walks with wise men will be what? Wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Adversity pursues sinners, but the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity, or the righteous will be rewarded with blessings. I get blessed when I'm around blessed people. If I want to be blessed, I get around people that are blessed. Because I understand that whatever I get around, I get like. I gave you the little example. Your kids go down the street and play with little Johnny. And little Johnny's a little rebellious brat. Here comes your kid home. Guess what's happened to your kid? He's a rebellious brat, and you got to discipline it out of him. And sometimes we don't understand why in the world we're going, why God's disciplining us. I'll tell you, you're probably a rebellious brat. You got around Johnny. And God wants us to understand these things. And He says, hey, let me tell you something. I am so thankful for our teachers. We've got wonderful teachers here, full of the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues, pray every day, seek God all their might, love the Lord God, and they teach in the public schools. So please understand what I'm saying here. But my daughter has sat and been taught in a public school system by an atheist. Now, she sat in his class probably 8 hours that day, and do you know what? I saw her about one. Whose spirit was she getting? Hello? Think about this. We send our kids off to college. They go around humanistic teachers and atheistic teachers, and we wonder why our kids all of a sudden get away from God. There's that transference of spirits. I don't know what you can do. Can you do anything, Celia? Can you do anything about picking the teacher that you want? Ask not to be in a particular class. We need to do that. Do you realize that probably some of us need to do that? You need to protect your kids. So we see that there is a transference of spirits that happens, and people have to understand that. What you get around, you're going to get like. You get around people that are having marital problems, guess what's going to happen? You get around people that have worked through marriages. You know, But you get around people that worked through their marriage and made their marriage work. That's who you go for marital counseling. We get around people with financial problems, guess what happens? You see, there's a transference of spirit. We get around critical people. There's a transference. Can I disassociate with negative spirits? Can I disassociate with negative spirits? Well, we've got to learn to walk with blessed people so that we'll get blessed of God. The sixth thing that we ask is, what is my mouth producing? This was just a couple of weeks back. Proverbs 13, verse 2 and 3 says this, from the fruit of a man's mouth, he enjoys good. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his mouth comes to ruin. The fruit of a man's mouth. You have got to understand and come to the realization that what's coming out of your mouth is producing something. Your mouth is producing something. Your mouth is fruitful. And if you don't guard it, your life cannot be preserved. If you open wide your mouth, the Bible says you will come to ruin. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20 and 21 says this, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What's in the power of the tongue? What? Death and life. Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 10. And the angel came and he says, I have responded to your what? Your words. The angels responded to his words. Listen, out of our mouth, we are activating angels, we are activating devils. Death and life. Where is it at? Power of the tongue. We did a teaching on that. Most of you have heard it. I want us to understand there is a power that's in our tongue. There is a power in our words. Words release angels, or words release devils. James says, you can't bridle your tongue. You can bridle all the body, he says, but the tongue. And he says, but that tongue is that rudder that sets the course of your life. How many knows we need to guard our mouths? The seventh thing, and this is today's, do I honor my parents? Ephesians chapter 6. Father, I just pray now, you just open this to people. I want you to know, you cannot experience the total blessings of God if you do not honor your parents. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Two promises come with honoring your parents. Tell me what they are. First one is, things will go well with you. How many want the blessings of God and things to go well with you? Let me see some hands. I want to wake you up a little bit. All right. You got to honor your parents. Now, that word honor there means to consider precious. Consider precious your father and your mother so that things will go well with you, you'll be blessed, and you'll live a long time on the earth. Second thing that it promises us is we'll live a long time. Now, I know that we all want that. I do. I know that you do. Now, talking about considering it precious. You do not honor, consider precious your parents, things aren't going well. Maybe you're doing it. But I just want you to see this before we move on. Maybe you've got a brother or you've got a sister who aren't. How are things going with them? How are things going with somebody that you know has rebelled and verbally abused their parents? It's a principle of the Word of God. I do a lot of counseling with people. A tremendous amount of counseling with people. And this is one of the primary things that I look for in counseling sessions. Do you honor your parents? Has your parents blessed your marriage? Has your parents blessed your finances? Has your parents blessed your home? Has your parents blessed your life? Because oftentimes when I find there's problems in marriages and problems in finances, I oftentimes find there's been rebellion against mama and against daddy someplace. Disrespect, dishonor, not considering them precious. Now, I want to give you two examples, a negative and a positive, and probably the best negative I can ever give you is Samson. Did things go well with Samson? You got to read the first part of the story. Samson was a Nazarite. The angel came, and just like with Jesus, the angel came and told his mother, says, "You're going to conceive." And she did. Now, it was with man, but she conceived. And there came Samson. And Samson grew up, and he went down to the land of the Philistines, and he got him a Philistine wife. Or he fell in love. He said, it says there, you can read it, it says, "She looked good to me." Came back and says, "Get her for me." They says, "Uh-uh. Don't want to do that. Can't you find somebody like you or somebody in your church or somebody at least that's a believer that you can marry?" He says, "Nope, she looks good to me. Get her for me." And the Bible goes on to say that the way I see it is that God took all things and made them work together for good. It says that that was of the Lord. But what I want to point out and show you is that Samson did not live very long and things did not go very well with Samson. There was Delilah after Delilah after Delilah. Then there come the time when the Philistines captured him. He got captured by the enemy. He got blinded. They plucked his eyes out. And he died, a fairly young man. Things didn't go well with Samson. I'll give you a good one. King David. Did King David go well with him? Was his life blessed? David, when he ran from Saul, went and got his parents and took his parents to the land of Moab and took them to the king of Moab. And he says, "Will you watch my parents? Will you watch over my parents until I find out what God's going to do for me?" And the king of Moab did. And then when you find the end of David's life in 2 Chronicles, you don't have to turn there. I can just read it to you real quickly. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 28, "Then he died, then David died, in a ripe old age, full of days, rich and honor, and his son Solomon reigned in his place." Then David died at a ripe old age, full of days, and very, very blessed, rich and honored, and his son Solomon reigned in his place. Not only was he blessed, but he was able to give that inheritance to his children. How many want to obey your parents? How many want to honor your parents? There's principles here, and I'm going to share some quick stories in just a few minutes. But I want to close with Matthew chapter 15 and what Jesus had to say about this particular subject. Matthew chapter 15. This, to me, has been one of the more enlightening studies that we've done. Because we have not just looked at one particular thing. We have covered a wide spectrum of teachings and how God blesses us. And again, I want to reiterate, I want to say it again, that God responds to us. You sow it, and then you'll reap it. as we respond to Him, He responds back to us with His blessings upon our life. Now, Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, this is where Jesus says that the traditions of men make the Word of God of none effect. Do you know the only thing that's, and I'm going to say it this way, do you know the only thing that's more powerful than the Word of God? Traditions of men. Say the traditions of men. The reason is because they can nullify, make void the Word of God, make it of none effect. You can take the Word of God into any place, and if they remain in their traditions, do you know what it will do? Nothing. That's why it's necessary in our lives not to get into a tradition. Keep our lives open for change, continuously change, continuously be moved by the Spirit and changed by the Spirit so that God can stay fresh in us. Verse 1, 15. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And He answered and said to them, "And why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your traditions? For God said..." Now notice what He uses here in example to show the traditions of man. "For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother. And thus you invalidated the word of God for the sakes of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." Does the world teach their children to honor their parents? What we're basically taught in the world is to get out of home as quick as we can, go and make our million. We're taught as rapidly as we can to get away from our parents, get away from our coverings, get away from the church, get away from all those things that will give us some sort of covering and some sort of protection from the devil. And that's the precepts of men. And Jesus uses this particular one to show how that man's traditions validate the Word of God. Folks, I want to tell you that God desires that you honor your parents. He desires that you look at them as precious and not just give lip service to Him. We come in here, we dance, we praise God, we lift our hands, we clap, we shout. Folks, I want to tell you, there's some weightier matters. If you're not honoring your parents, you're making everything else that you do just kind of vain, void. It's traditions of men. We need to learn to honor our parents. We need to teach our children these things. And you may say this, like I've written some things, but my parents are heathens. Does that matter? It doesn't matter. My parents are heathens. What really matters is, do you want the blessings or not? You may say, but I was abused as a child. Have you forgiven? Have you forgiven? Do you want the blessings of God? You may say, I love them, but I just don't like them. You know, I have problems with that. I have problems when you say you love somebody, but you don't like them. I have a little problem with that because I know that's just not exactly right. I love them, but I don't like them. The Bible didn't say you need to love them or like them. It says you need to honor them. Consider them precious. Do you consider your parents precious? Are they precious to you? If they're not, you need to investigate it. You really need to look at your life now. This is serious time. What do you do? What do you do if you don't? What do you do if there's a canyon? There's a, seems like a bottomless pit, a void between you and your mother or your dad or both. What do you do? I want to give you three things that I think you need to do. And I'm coming again from a point of experience. You see, the weight is on you. You're waiting for your parents to come to you. But who has to honor who? Children have to honor the parents. Honor your parents. Honor your father and your mother. First thing you've got to do is make peace. First thing you've got to do is make peace. And you may be able to visit them and have a good time, spend Easter and Christmas together, and those kinds of times and have a big feast and all, but there's still that big void there. There's something there that's between you. You've got to make peace. Whatever canyons are separating, you must scale them. You must go down them and up them to get to wherever point you need to get to fix this thing, because the weight is on you. Don't wait for the parent. You honor the parent. That's the first thing you've got to know. The weight's on you. Now, I want to share just right here a second about my parents. I felt like in my life that I had been rebellious about a couple of things. I was a pretty good kid. But there was a couple of things that I felt like I had rebelled about, and I had hurt my parents. And we were having a counseling session. And John Holloway was here, and we were counseling, and something came out in this particular counseling session where this individual had not honored the request of her parent. And things had not gone well with this person. Not well at all. And John began to minister this to her. Well, as he ministered it to her, it ministered to me. And it ministered to my wife. Thanksgiving wasn't very far away. That Thanksgiving, we purposefully asked my parents to come up and spend Thanksgiving with them. We sought a moment. We sought a time. We could sit with them and just say, hey, listen. I feel like I've hurt you. I feel like I've rebelled against you. And I want you to forgive me. I want to honor you. You're precious to me, and I love you so much, and I don't want there to be ever be anything between us. Do you know walls came down that had been there for years and years and years? All of a sudden, that deep canyon that once was there was filled in, and it was level. All of a sudden, there was a love that came from them to me and me to them that we had not experienced in our entire marriage life. And now things are just totally different when we go there or they come here. I want you to know it can be done. You can make peace. But you've got to set it in your mind to do it. You've got to go down that canyon and up the other side. And you've got to make the climb. And you've got to do it. Don't wait for them to come to you. It's forgive and ask forgiveness. That's what I did. I said, forgive me. I want your forgiveness. You might say, well, it's too much. It's too much. No. There's nothing that any parent has ever done to any child that you can't forgive. Where does Christ dwell at now? Is He in you? Does Jesus Christ now make His abode within your life? Is there anything too big for Him to forgive? You can forgive it. And you can ask them to forgive you. And you say, well, they might just say, well, I told you so. So? Who cares? They're probably right. It's probably why we're in the mess that we got in, is because they told us something, we didn't do it, and now we're in a fix. So you go and you say, forgive me. Forgive me. Number three. Let me stop. I'm going to tell you a story here. Judy's daddy, before he passed away, when she and I got married, he and I became very, very close. Very, very close. We hunted together. We fixed cars together. I learned a lot of skills from him. A lot of skills. Then he was in disagreement with the way I was raising our children. The way I was raising them was very biblical, but yet he was in disagreement with me about the way we did it. And he broke off relationships with me. He would not come to my house for about 5 years. Wouldn't talk to me. Would get around him. He wouldn't speak to me. That hurts. Some of you know how bad that hurts. And somebody that you love won't talk to you. Boy, he hurt me. One day, we was at a Christmas dinner, I think it was. I went and I sat beside him purposefully. And I said, Floyd, and I wasn't even saved then. I just know I wanted to make peace. I didn't know what to do. I said, Floyd, I said, I know I've done something wrong. And I said, I want you to forgive me. Please forgive me. Didn't sense anything right then. He told me what I had done. He told me how I had hurt him. He didn't say, I forgive you. He didn't know how to say, I love you, or how to say, I forgive you, until right before he died. But things changed. And all of a sudden, he was coming back down to my house. And all of a sudden, we were hunting together again, doing some things together again. Some of you need this in your lives. Some of you need this. And don't wait until they pass on and you can't do it. Had I waited much longer, Judy's daddy would have passed away. And I would have not got that blessing from him. Go ahead and do it. And do it now. Do it now while the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart about it. Right now. Today, if you can. Then the third thing is get their blessings. When we had Mom and Dad come up here, we stood in a circle in my den. We joined hands with them and us and my kids. And Daddy just blessed my home. And Daddy blessed my home. He blessed my marriage. He blessed my finances. He blessed everything. He prayed one of the most eloquent prayers I've ever heard. And He just blessed us. Most of you remember Pawpaw. Pawpaw lived with us nearly a year. While he was there, we got Pawpaw to bless our home. But we didn't even have to get him to do it. He just did it. He was praying one day and just blessed our home. What I'm trying to relay to you is honor your father and your grandfather and your mother and your grandmother. Consider them precious. And if there is a void, if there's something, there's a great thing between you and one of your parents or one of your grandparents, then you fix it. Because that could possibly be why you're not being blessed. That could possibly be why things aren't going real well with you. Would you say amen to that? Is that the word of the Lord? I want your heads bowed, please. Let's stand. You say, Pastor, you really spoke to my heart. There are things between me and somebody that I really loved. And it might not even be your, maybe an aunt, an uncle, it may be, but it's somebody that you need to respect. But most especially what I want to talk about is your parents and your grandparents. And something's happened. And you've really heard the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord has spoke to you today. And has spoken into your spirit. Would you lift your hand and just say, that spoke to me today? That ministered to me? Amen. What I want you to do, those that raised your hands, I want you to come down and just stand here. And I want to pray with you. I want to impart what God has done in my life to you. And I just want to lay hands on you and touch your life and just pray over you before we go. Would you come down? Those that raised their hands. See, this is real, folks. This is real. This is real life stuff here. A lot of times, and I believe it, we don't get our healings. We don't get our financial breakthroughs. We don't get marital breakthroughs. We don't have our children like they need to be simply because when the Word of God is preached, we won't receive it and we won't change our lives and we won't receive the blessings of God into our lives. This is real. God wants to bless you. It's in the covenant. And He's wanting us to see today that there are things that we do, and as we do these things, then He'll respond to us. He'll respond to us. I want you to pray with me and repeat after me. Father, I want to make peace with my parents. I want you to say it with some velocity. I want you to say it not because I want you just to be loud, but I want you to mean it, okay? I just really want you to be forceful against the powers and principalities that are warring with you right now. This is tough. I know it is. Let's do it again. Father, I want to make peace with my parents. I want them to forgive me, and I want to forgive them. And I want to get their blessings upon me and upon everything that I touch. And I ask you to work in this situation mightily and speedily. In Jesus' name, amen.